Well, good morning. If we have not met, my name is Amanda, and I have the honor to serve on staff here at First Methodist Mansfield. We are continuing a study on the book of Jonah. We are going to start right before chapter 2. So if you want to pull out your Bibles and pull that up, there are Bibles in front of you in the seat backs behind in front of you, behind the other people in front of you. I don't know why I'm making this so confusing. Grab a Bible if you see it. Turn to Jonah 2 and just take notes throughout this time. Jonah has just such a wealth of knowledge for us. We talked last week about how we make Jonah like a child's story, right? We decorate our nurseries with the big whale and all of those things, but Jonah is so much deeper than what we can find on a 7-page book that I found in my son's room the other day. It is so much deeper than that. There's so much more meaning for that. And so I hope that you can gain that today. I hope that you can rewind after you leave here and read Jonah 1. There is a lot there. That is what we think of when we think of Jonah. And so I think that it is a great, great thing, a great journey. It's not a long book of the Bible, but it's a rich book of the Bible. It's one of my favorite ones. I call Jonah my spirit prophet because Jonah and I, we're the same. We are the same in so many ways. And I believe that this is in the Bible so that we can say, you know what? We are the same. We're the same as Jonah in so many different ways. And I hope that we can gain that. Last week, we asked ourselves the question, where is your Nineveh? Where is your Nineveh? In chapter 1, God calls Jonah to go to Nineveh, and to give them a message that is not really popular, to tell them that they are being destructive and that what they are doing is wrong and that there are consequences to that. Jonah was supposed to deliver that message, and that is one sentence in the first chapter, and then it says immediately after that, and then Jonah ran the opposite direction, basically. And I said last week, I'd love to hear the full conversation if there was one. If there wasn't, wow. Jonah heard, this is what I want you to do from God. And Jonah's like, I'm not going to even respond to that with words. I'm going to go ahead and just take off. So Jonah went the opposite direction from Nineveh, got on a boat. We all kind of know this story, right? Got on the boat, got in the deepest, darkest part of the boat to literally get away from the mission that God was calling Jonah to do. We do that, don't we? We run the other way. When we don't want to say certain things, when we don't want to face certain news, we run the opposite direction. We are Jonah in so many different ways. But we learned last week, and we know from watching Veggie Tales and reading children's stories and going to Sunday school, that Jonah did not stay on the deepest part of the boat, and that the sailors that were there that were working on the boat called Jonah up and said, hey, deal with this. My God does not do this. What is going on with your God? And through Jonah's denial and Jonah going to the deepest, darkest parts of the boat and running away from God, God used Jonah in a powerful way to show that these sailors that no, I am the Lord and I am in control. And so with all of that, Jonah's still persistent, feet dug in. I'm not doing anything. They threw Jonah overboard. And that is where we're starting today. So Jonah went overboard. Think through what your Nineveh is. And we're going to start with verse 17 from chapter 1. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled around me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I've been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains, I sank down. The earth beneath barred me forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pits. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayers rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to the worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, this is my favorite, and it vomited Jonah into dry land. Vomit, y'all. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I gave you. We have a lot to learn from these scriptures. Jonah was in the whale for three days and three nights. That is a long time to be in the belly, the dark, dark belly of a big fish. God sent a big fish for Jonah. God could have sent anything, right? A boat, one of those life rings, right? God could have just immediately stopped the wind and the waves, but instead, they threw Jonah overboard, and God provided a big fish to swallow Jonah up. This is so much more than the childhood images that we picture, right? The image of darkness happens when Jonah is swallowed up by the big fish. Being inside a big fish doesn't have a lot of lighting. I'm going to guess it doesn't really smell particularly good, right? But God provided this big fish when God could have provided so many different things. God chose a big fish, and God chose that moment. God chose that moment. A fish, that big fish, served as a safe place for Jonah to regroup and to repent. It's kind of like a holy time out. Now, one of my favorite things to do in life is just to pause in moments, like literally like a remote control, just pause my life for a moment and go, how did I get here? Do y'all ever do that? So there are moments that are just funny. And if you pause, and life is funny, you guys. And so if you pause, you can go, how did I get to this point right here? One of my favorite examples of that is I married a great man, but he came with two cats. We're working through it. And one of them, they're just furry. I'm not trying not to get into too many details, but fur and cats in summer leads to like digestion issues. And so digestion issues and one of our cats led us to like regroup and take her to the vet, which causes, you know, like you've seen those people like handling birds with claws and you have like those gloves that go way up here, like getting her into a carrier, let alone taking her to the vet was hard. But at the vet, we were delivered news that we were going to be prescribed this medicine that we had to give her, and then those hairballs would come out. Now, I'm not going to give a lot more detail in that because we're in church. But my husband and I looked at each other and we're like, oh, great. So we came home and did what any other cat owner would do. We cat like made a little spa for her in one of our guest rooms. So we gave her her own litter box and we had like good lighting in there. And we gave her the medicine, which alone was a lot. And then we just shut the door. And then we're like, you just do you in there. But when we shut the door, I paused. We had just gotten married. And I'm like, how did we get here? Like, how did we get to the point where we create a cat spa and giving her medicine in hopes that the hairballs just come out? How did we get here? There are moments, too, when I'm on vacation and I'm somewhere that I've never been. And then you've done that, right? Like, you've been in nature or you've been somewhere historical. And you're like, how did I get here? Like, I'm here, right here, looking at this, experiencing this all around me. How did I get here? But then there are moments in our lives when we've taken some wrong turns, we've made some wrong decisions, and we ask ourselves, how did I get here? How did this happen? A series of wrong choices, just like Jonah did, saying no, saying yes when we shouldn't have. And all of a sudden, wrong decisions get us to a point where we can look in the mirror, and I have done this, and looked at myself and said, how did I get here? Have you found yourself in those places? Those times when you can look at yourself and be like, wait a minute, how did this happen in my life? How did I get here? I want to believe that Jonah got swallowed up by that big fish. And the truth is that he found himself deep in the dark belly of a stinking fish going, how did I get here? Some of us are in those places and in those times and found ourselves asking that question because of the results of our own rebellion. Ourselves saying no when we should have said yes. Ourselves sticking our feet grounded in places we don't need to be, doing things we don't need to do because God is calling us in a different direction. And our rebellion has caused us to be in a stinky fish in a dark place, wondering, how did I get here? For some of us, it's the results of somebody else's rebellion. Somebody else's choices have caused you to look in the mirror and go, how did I become this person? How did I do this? How did I get here? I'm not that. How did I get here? And it's because of somebody else's rebellion. And the fact of the matter is, we live in a broken world. So no matter how many good choices you make, no matter how much you read the Bible and how, no matter how much you want good to happen, bad happens in this world because we live in a broken world. So for some of us, we are inside that stinky well or have found ourselves in that stinky dark place because life is hard and broken. Life stinks. So whether it's a lawyer's office, a hospital, a jail cell, an empty home, or an empty heart, we have all found ourselves in places asking, how did I get here? But here's what Jonah can teach us about those moments. We are never alone. We are never alone, even if you want to be. I think a lot of times when you are facing yourselves and you're going, how did I get here? You don't want anybody else to be there with you. It's bad enough that you have found yourself in a place that you don't want to be, and you have to question how many dots were connected to get you to this point. You don't want anybody else with you. But that just, this doesn't matter, because we are never alone. Even when we deserve to be, even when we want to be, even when it looks like we are the only ones in that darkness, we are not alone. The truth that we can find in Jonah is that Jonah never left God's hands, even when Jonah wanted to. Jonah going in the deep, dark belly of the boat never left God's hands. Jonah getting swallowed up by the fish in the deep, dark belly of the fish, Jonah was not alone. He was in that deep, dark place for 3 days, but he was never alone. You are never alone. The thing to think about is the fact that those 3 days and three nights were not a quick rescue, right? And God chose for that to be the case. We're going to find our times and moments where we just have to sit in our stink in the belly of that whale for 3 days or three nights. Jonah taught us that no matter where we are, we can be close to the Lord through prayer. The great thing that we can learn from these scriptures is there's no place too far away for the Lord to hear you. There is no place too far away for the Lord to hear you. So whether you cry out for help at home by yourself, whether you cry out for help in a hospital room, whether you cry out for help in a dark, stinky fish, the Lord will hear you. But the question is prayer your default? I believe that 3 days and three nights was intentional, right? Like, how did that go down? The Lord provided a big fish to swallow Jonah. And then what happened for those 3 days and three nights? Because while that prayer was big and powerful, even if he took like an hour, a line, that's not going to take 3 days and three nights. So how did it go for Jonah? Did he pause and think, how did I get here? And then pray? And then paused again? Did he pause for a really, really long time and then pray? Did he pray and then did he pause? No matter the order of things, I think it's important for us to remember that we get frustrated with life's timing. We want things to happen on our time, the way that we think will work, the thing that will fit into our schedules, and we get frustrated with the Lord's timing. 3 days and three nights is a long time to be in the belly of a stinky fish. But that's what Jonah did. Jonah wanted him, we want immediate action and we want immediate answers to our prayers, but sometimes we need 3 days. Sometimes we need three nights. Sometimes we need that pause before prayer or after prayer to center ourselves in this holy time out in this safe place that may still be dark. I learned over the past couple of years that our human brain and our body can go through so much. The things that we can think about and endure, it's a lot. For some of us, that dark place is no more than just in your mind. You can go there, can't you? If you allow yourself, you can think the things that are the darkest things. And some of us can't even help it, and those are our dark places, but the Lord is there. We are equipped to handle so much, more than we ever thought we could handle, because we are not alone. And sometimes it takes 3 days, and sometimes it takes 3 nights, and sometimes it takes a lot longer, but you are never, ever alone. So what do we do now? What more does the scripture have to say to us? It says, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Again, love that so much. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim it to it the message I gave you. This is pivotal in the story of Jonah. God was not done with Jonah. So literally getting vomited out onto dry land, can you even imagine that experience? Being swallowed up by a whale is one thing. Being vomited out by a whale, totally other experience. Jonah's been through a lot, y'all. But think about that. He was forcefully delivered to go and do what God called Jonah to do. We can learn in these scriptures that if the Lord can speak to a fish and command a fish to do those things, the Lord can speak to us. The question is, are you listening? The Lord can speak to a fish. The Lord can speak to us. We just need to listen. We need to pause, take a moment, and recognize that in our darkness and in that smelly part of life, sitting in our own stink, the Lord can speak to us. And you are worth that conversation. You are worth that time. But the next part is pivotal to the whole experience. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time with the exact same message as the first. Go. Go to Nineveh and give that message that I assigned to you to give. Go. Go do what I asked you to do. Jonah still had a job to do. Jonah was still needed. Jonah could have easily just been staying in the whale. God could have done something different with Jonah and go, I need another messenger, one that will listen. The Lord chose Jonah. The Lord equipped Jonah. The Lord heard Jonah's prayer and then forcefully vomited Jonah onto dry land so that Jonah can go do what the Lord called Jonah to do. Jonah had to run away from God, but was given a second chance to participate in the mission that he was called to do. It's important to remember that our God is a God of second chances. Our God is a God of second chances, and you are worth that second chance. Go. Go to your Nineveh. Go say the things that are hard to say because you know you are not alone, and you know that is what God is calling you to do. Go. Go to your Nineveh and go do the things that God is calling you to do, knowing that you're not alone, but God is calling you to do those things. Jonah had a job to do, and so do you. So do you. Now, I know I joke a lot about Jonah just being like, we make it this cute little children's story, but really, there's so much more to that. I can see the connection, though, because I'm a mother of a five-year-old. And I understand the conflict that comes with saying, I need you to go do this, and him running the literally opposite direction to doing that. No one ever told me that dinner time would be so fun with a five-year-old. He has an opinion about everything, especially about food. So this is a nightly Jonah experience in our home. I will provide dinner for him. I will do my best to set him up for success. And all of a sudden, he'll realize, yeah, no, I don't like that. I do not like that. Even though he liked it yesterday, and he'll probably like it tomorrow. Tonight's not the night. So we go through the things that I swore I would never do. The bargaining. Have y'all ever done this? Like if you eat 3 pieces, which is the equivalent of like 1 bite, then we'll be done. And you try to like rationalize in your brain, like how much protein does he need to eat in order to really make this worth it? And so you do that. And I portion everything off even more from the portion that I already gave him. And it's still not good enough. And it gets to the point where he just flat out throws a fit. Tears, like thrashing going to the floor. And so I do what every good parent would do. And I say, go to your room. We are done with this at the table. Go to your room. And for Dax, that room is his whale. That room is the place to go and argue and pause, maybe pray, please do something in there to get yourself right. But the fact of the matter is, when he gets himself pulled together and he says, I'm done, I still make him go and eat because I'm his parent and I want to make sure that he gets at least some nutrition throughout the day. We are like that. Sometimes we just need that time out, but God calls us to do those things. God calls us, if you need a little break to center yourself, do it, but go and do, because I'm a God of second chances and I know what's best for you, and you need to do what you are called to do. So today, I want you to think about, what truth do you need to hear? What mission are you called to be a part of? And once again, where is your Nineveh? Where is God calling you to go? What is God calling you to say? What is God calling you to do? What second chance do you need to have in your life to make a difference in this world? Because God wants to use you. Today, as I close this message, I'm going to leave us with Psalm 46. This psalm is a fantastic psalm that really centers us on what God is doing in our lives. So as I read this, I want to invite you just to bow your heads, to close your eyes, to picture this written for you. Written for you, maybe not just for today, but maybe for tomorrow as well. And since God is a God of second chances, this scripture was written for you yesterday as well. So as you hear the scripture, picture this written for you, for this time, in this moment. Will you pray with me? God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of days. Nations will be in uproar. Kingdoms will fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord God Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought to the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob, our fortress. Lord, help us hear these words. Help us not only hear these words, but live these words, not just today, but tomorrow, when we are faced with a life where we need to be in time out, when we are faced with a life where we need to say, help, when we are faced with a life where we need a second chance. Lord, I pray that we take these words and claim them as truth in our lives, that we recognize that we are more like Jonah than we ever thought we were before. Lord, help us. Help us to remember that you are with us and will never leave our side. For it's in your holy name we pray, amen.